Hey, this is Gillian Welch.
And this is Dave Rollins.
And you're listening to Off the Record.
I'm Brian Wise. Thank you very much for joining me on the program this week, where my special guest is Lucinda Williams. We're going to spend an hour listening to Lucinda talk about her new album, Good Souls, Better Angels, and we'll hear some of the music from that album and some associated music as well. It's Lucinda's 14th studio album. She's also released a live album, and she recorded it in Nashville with Ray Kennedy, with whom she worked many years ago on the album Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. She's assisted by her band, Stuart Mathis on guitar, Butch Norton on drums, and David Sutton on bass, also known as Buick Six. Lucinda was born in Lake Charles, Louisiana. She was the daughter of poet Miller Williams, and she spent quite a number of years in Austin and Houston. She did live in Nashville for 9 years, as she talks about in the interview, and she's recently moved back there from Los Angeles. In 2018-19, she spent some time touring, celebrating the 20th anniversary of Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, on which Ray Kennedy worked. But it's interesting that she's gone back to Nashville and sought him out for the new album. It's a very powerful album. It's a political album, and she'll tell you all about that in the interview. And we'll also hear about a recent project towards the start of the interview where she talks about Charles Lloyd and the Marvels, a fantastic ensemble with whom she worked and who I was lucky enough to see at Jazz Fest last year. So let's begin our interview with Lucinda Williams and start off with a little bit of music from her album, and then we'll begin our conversation. Brian here, Lucinda. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks.
Whereabouts are you at the moment?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now. We recorded the album here,
yep.
The new album, and Tom and I just bought a house here in East Nashville, and there was a tornado that came through on Tuesday, and did some damage to our house, but not too bad. Some of the roofs came off, so we have to get a new roof. But, yeah, it's crazy, all that stuff that's going on right now. Between the tornado in Nashville and the elections coming up and coronavirus, everybody's a little stressed out right now.
I think you're also doing some gigs with Charles Lloyd and the Marvels, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. I'm really looking forward to that.
That was a fantastic album you did with them. I was lucky enough to see you perform that at Jazz Fest with Charles. That was amazing, an amazing show.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been a great experience to work with him.
Yes, it was a great experience. It's just a whole different thing, you know, when I hear my songs, you know, with him playing with his band and everything. It just takes it to a whole nother place, you know.
Thank you.
tears back, 'cause you couldn't cry if you wanted to. 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 Even your thoughts are dust. Even your thoughts are dust. Even your thoughts are dust. Even your thoughts are dust.
Congratulations on the new album, Good Souls, Better Angels. You've teamed up with Ray Kennedy again to do the album.
Yes. He was worked on the Car Wheels album, and we went to his studio. It's a different studio than when we did the Car Wheels album, but we went in initially just to, you know, he invited us to drop in and kind of do some things and see, you know, what we thought. And we weren't necessarily planning on doing the whole album there, but then we got in there and started, you know, just did a couple of tracks, and we just all were like, wow, this sounds great. And, you know, so we just kept going, and we really only, it took about 2 weeks. Yeah, we did a few days, and then we had to leave to go out, do shows, and we'd come back and do a few more days. It was only a couple of weeks of tracking for this album with the band, because we didn't have other people come in and do a bunch of stuff, so it didn't take as long.
What did Ray bring to the table in terms of production? What's Ray, obviously he brought a particular sound for this album. Was that what you were looking for?
Well, he's got a lot of vintage gear in his studio. He has amplifiers from the 50s and 60s and a whole wall of guitars, you know, from those days, from the 1950s and 60s. And so that really gave it a certain sound, because on a lot of the tracks I would be playing, I just ended up using the guitars that were in the studio because they were so great. And, you know, like on one song, I would be playing a 1950s guitar going through a 1950s amplifier, you know. And so that's going to give you a certain kind of sound, you know, right there. And, you know, certain songs that we were recording, Ray just understood, I think, the sound we wanted to get, you know. And it was all recorded live, you know, in the studio. Well, we always do that with all my albums, but this one definitely has a certain kind of a garage rock sound, a bluesy, a little punk, you know, a vibe.
Bad news on my TV screen, bad news on the magazines, bad news on the newspaper, bad news on the elevator, bad news on the street, bad news on my car, bad news under my feet, bad news at the bar, all over my clothes, under my hat, on the radio, in the laundromat, hanging in the air, laying on the ground, walking up the stairs, bad news all around. No matter where I go, I can't get away from it. Don't you know I'm knee-deep in it? Who's gonna believe liars and lunatics? Thank you.
listening to Off the Record. My special guest this week is Lucinda Williams.
Now, I was saying to some people the other month that it's surprising that there haven't been more musicians writing songs about the political situation, and you have certainly come to the fore with that. It's not hard to guess what inspired the album.
Well, you know, it's just been on my mind and a lot of people's minds, and I mean, some of the songs were written, one of the songs was written several years ago, that song Bone of Contention. I actually recorded that when I was working on the Little Honey album. And, but for whatever reason, we just decided not to release it then. And so we re-recorded it for this album, and it just really fit. A lot of it is, you know, we recorded a lot of different songs. That's the way we kind of do things now. You know, we go in and just record stuff, and we don't really know yet, you know, what's going to go together or anything. And then it starts to kind of all fall together at a certain point, you know. So, but yeah, it feels good to get those kind of songs out, you know, those topical songs that, they do need to be written, and they need to be sung and played. And I've always wanted to have more songs like that, you know, but they're kind of harder to write than, you know, a love song. They're kind of harder a little more challenging. But I always wanted to write the kind of songs that Bob Dylan wrote that he used to do, you know, back in the 60s, and like Masters of War. And well, I recorded that with Charles Lloyd.
Yeah.
Masters of War, you know. But those kind of songs, you know, the times they are changing and all of that, you know. So it was his time to do that.
Your mother, where did you come from? Who's your father? Where are you born? You're not my brother. You're not my kin. You're not my sister. You're not my friend. You're not my master. I'm not your slave, evil bastard. Go back to your grave.
You're a bone of contention. You're a bone of contention. You're a thorn in my side. You're the salt in my wound. You're the splinter in my finger. You're the knife in my back. You're a bone of contention. You're a bone of contention.
Filthy sin is in your blood, abomination. Of all that's good, I saw you walking. You're a two-headed dog and you pretend to worship God, mathematics, and politics, 360s, and deadly tricks. You're a bone of contention. You're a bone of contention. You're a thorn in my side. You're the salt in my wound. You're the splinter in my finger. You're the knife in my back. You're a bone of contention. You're a bone of contention. You're a bone of contention.
On Off the Record this week, our special guest is Lucinda Williams talking about her new album, Good Souls, Better Angels.
We can guess who Man Without a Soul is about at the moment. But like a lot of Dylan, like a lot of Dylan songs, it's kind of timeless because it could apply to a lot of politicians across time, not just in this particular era, although
we're
pretty certain we know who it's about.
Well, people know who it's about, you know, but you're right. I wanted it to be so it could be about different people over time, but this is the time that we're in. I mean, you know, people know because the time we're in. So, but yeah, I like, you know, when I write songs, I like it. I like my songs to be as universal as possible, you know, and be able to be about, people can interpret it, you know, different ways. But, you know, right now it kind of hits people like, you know, oh, I know who that's about. That's what everybody says when they hear it, you know.
I'm wondering if you think that there's any way that someone can beat person in power, you know, sort of whether what's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. We're all really nervous about it. I like a lot of, I tend to lean more towards, you know, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I like his, I'm a little bit more left, you know, leftist. But I think people are supporting the other candidate because he's a little more moderate, but you know, basically everybody's opinion, feeling is whoever ends up winning the primary needs to just, we need to vote for that person.
Yeah.
It's basically come down to vote against Trump, whoever it is, you know. And, but, you know, everybody's worried about if they're going to be able to beat Trump, whoever it is, whichever one, you know, Biden or Bernie. At this point, just somebody, we just need to get Trump out. You know, that's the main thing. What I'm worried about, a lot of people are worried about, is if, you know, a lot of the people who support Bernie are saying, well, if Bernie's not the candidate, then I'm not going to vote. You know, and that just makes me really angry, because if you don't vote, you're going to be, you're voting, by not voting, you're supporting somebody, you know. So we just want to get people to the polls, and we just need to get Trump out, you know, get him out of there.
Listen, we have a fantastic thing in Australia. It's called compulsory voting. I suppose it would never happen in America, but everybody has to vote here.
Oh my God, that's great. I love that. See, that's what we need. Yeah. You know, we're progressive in certain ways, the United States, but I feel like in so many ways we're not. We're behind countries, you know, like with medical care and everything, you know. So that's great that you have that. I feel like, you know, people we could just talk and talk all night. See, I think here people would say, oh, I can't, you know, they can't tell me what to do, kind of thing.
Without shame, without
say face your man without a soul. Coming down. Yeah, it's coming down.
Stuff, isn't it? That's Lucinda Williams from her brand new album, Good Souls, Better Angels, released on Friday, April the 24th, and a song called Man Without a Soul. You don't have to be a genius to work out who that song is about. Bone of Contention and Bad News Blues, also from the album, and from the album that she recorded with Charles Lloyd and the Marvels, which featured not only Charles Lloyd on saxophone, but Bill Frisell and Greg Lease on guitars. What an incredible combination. The album Vanished Gardens, we heard Lucinda's song Dust. Let's return to our interview with Lucinda Williams, talking about her album Good Souls, Better Angels, and hear a little bit of the song that she wrote with her husband, Tom Overby, who also co-produced the album with Ray Kennedy. This is Big Black Train.
I can hear coming from miles away. I can hear coming from miles away. I can hear coming from miles away. And I don't wanna get on board. I can hear it coming on down the track. I can hear it coming on down the track. I can hear it coming on down the track. And I don't wanna get on board. I don't wanna get on board. I don't wanna get on board. I don't wanna be no special rider. I don't wanna get on board. Big black train. Big black train. I don't wanna get on board that big black train. Last time through, it took me far away. Last time through, it took me far away. Last time through, it took me far away. I don't wanna get on board. Didn't know if I was ever coming back. Get on
Bob Dylan, and you've also mentioned that some of the inspirations behind the songs were like Leonard Cohen and Nick Cave and Robert Johnson, sort of going back to the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And those are interesting inspirations for you in terms of the songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that? You co-wrote with Tom, of course, a lot of the songs.
Yeah, well, that's been a whole new development, you know, and Tom's come up with it started out with him just giving me some ideas for songs and song titles. And like he came up with Man Without a Soul, you know, he came up with that idea and Big Black Train and, you know, and so he would show me and, you know, he was kind of shy about it at first, but he would show me his ideas and then, you know, I would take them and then come up with an arrangement and add more verses and everything. And that's the way we did a lot of these. And I really like it. I've enjoyed that process because, you know, it just opens up a whole new world of possibilities, you know, having him step in, you know, with some different ideas and things. And as far as other musicians, yeah, I've been influenced by a lot of different kinds of music, you know, over the years. But I've always wanted to make an album like this, you know, with more bluesy, kind of grungy sound, you know. Jesse Mallon, you know, the artist Jesse Mallon, who Tom and I co-produced his new album. He listened to the new album and he said it reminded him of a cross between Howlin' Wolf and Iggy Pop, you know. And I said, yes, that's it. I love that.
This week on Off the Record, our special guest is Lucinda Williams. You mentioned Robert Johnson. In fact, the first track on your very first album was a Robert Johnson song, Ramblin' on My Mind. So it's sort of come full circle, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the song, that song, You Can't Rule Me, is from a I got the idea for that song for Memphis Mini Song. So, you know, and Pray the Devil Back to Hell is kind of like a, you know, reminds me of an old Delta Blues song. And, you know, that's been, Delta Blues has been a huge influence on me and inspiration.
Well, man, I got a right to talk about what I see. Way too much is going wrong right in front of me. You can't rule me. You can't rule me. You can't take my money and try to rule me too. Signed. You can't rule me. You can't rule me. You can't take my soul and try to rule me too. You might beat me, you might cheat me and try to make me change my mind. You might trick me, you might trick me. I'm gonna tell you one last time, you can't rule me. You can't rule me. You can't take my money, try to rule me too.
Recorded, as you say, in Nashville with your band, and you didn't have many other guests. It's a fantastic band, Buick Six.
Yeah, they're great. They really nailed it.
How much improvisation was there in the studio? When you were recording, did you just bring in some ideas and did they flesh it out, or did you have the songs completely written?
Well, first I went into another friend of mine's studio. This guy, you might know about him. His name is Colin Linden, and
Definitely. He's
a really good... Yeah, he's a Canadian artist, and he's a really good blues guitar player. And anyway, he has a home studio at his house here in Nashville. And so, you know, when I had the songs all together, Tom and I went into his studio and I recorded them acoustically, just me on the guitar. And so we had those demos of the songs, and then, you know, I gave those to the band to listen to. And, you know, usually they would show up first at the studio and kind of get everything set up, and then I would show up, and then we'd go through, we just decide what song we wanted to do that day. And then sometimes they would listen to the demo of it, and by the time I got to the studio, they already had some ideas for it, and we just kind of would just start playing and see what happens kind of thing. Yeah, it was a pretty organic process. And we do a few tracks and listen back to them and see which one sounded the best. And, you know, at first I was thinking about adding some other things like harmony singers and all this stuff. But then the more we went along, everybody said, let's just leave it like it is. So that was real different than, you know, my last albums. We had a lot of different guest artists and, you know, different drummers, different bass players, different guitar players, and I doing that too. But this was cool because it was just real straight ahead, you know, just my band and me.
I like the fact that it's just you and the band, and like a song like When the Way Gets Dark has kind of got a gospel feel to it, and you could have added some singers and that to it, but it sounds great with just you.
I know. It was really tempting, you know, to bring in different people, and, you know, but then we just decided, let's just leave it like it is, so.
Mm-hmm. is dark, we lose your spirit, we lose your heart. When the work is dark, we lose your fire, we lose your spark. Don't give up, hang on tight, don't be afraid. Stumble and fall. Don't give up. You have a reason to carry on. Don't give up. Take my hand, you'll never go on.
Listening to Off the Record. I'm Brian Wise and I'm talking to Lucinda Williams, and we heard the beautiful song When the Way Gets Dark from her latest album, Good Souls, Better Angels. The other songs we heard there, You Can't Rule Me, also from that album, and a little bit of Big Black Train, and as well as that, Ramblin' on My Mind, the very first track from her very first album, released back in 1979, Happy Woman Blues. We've got a little bit more conversation with Lucinda and some more music, so let's return to the final part of our interview special. Written a lot over the years about not necessarily religion, but souls and spirit. Spirit and souls feature a lot on your album.
Uh-huh.
Down Where the Spirit Meets the Bone, The Ghosts of Highway 20, Blessed. Is that because of your upbringing that those themes come out, your early upbringing, religion?
Any sort of religion? Well, probably to some extent. I mean, you know, both of my grandfathers are Methodist ministers. But my father had pulled away from the church, so I wasn't raised in the church. I mean, you know, he was agnostic, is what he used to call himself. So, but I still feel like, especially on my grandfather on my father's side, I feel like, you know, I have some of that in my blood, you know, from him. And, you know, I can remember my grandmother singing, you know, the hymns. They were Methodist, and so I know I have a lot of that, but then, you know, I explored, you know, when I got to be, as I was growing up and everything, you know, I started exploring other things like Eastern mysticism and all of that, you know. And so it kind of just got all mixed in there, you know. But I've always been fascinated with, that's another thing about the Delta Blues stuff is, and you hear it a lot in Robert Johnson songs and, you know, where he talks about, you know, well, there's that whole myth, the story about him meeting the devil at the crossroads. And the devil is used a lot as a, just, you know, an image, or I've just always been drawn to that kind of those ideas and that kind of sort of spookiness, you know, and mystic kind of thing. It's hard to explain, but, you know, there's a lot of, but, you know, other songwriters have, you know, have that in their music. Like Leonard Cohen Nick Cave does that a lot. In fact, somebody who had heard the new album asked me if I had been influenced by Nick Cave, because he said they saw kind of a, you know, similarity there. And of course, Bob Dylan, remember that song, that, well, the song Highway 61?
Yeah.
Where he says, God said to Abraham, give me a son. And Abe said, man, you must be putting me on, you know, that kind of thing. So all of it went to, you know, inspire me. And my dad, a lot of his early poems, you know, you can see where he's, you know, kind of struggling with that a little bit. He's got a poem I love called Why Does God Permit Evil? That's one of his great early poems. I should probably just write an essay about this or something. Yeah.
I suppose as we get older, we think about it more too, don't we?
Yeah, but I've always been drawn to that, to the mystery, you know. And I love, you know, a lot of the folk art, especially the art from Mexico and South America, you know, that's kind of, it's got kind of the Catholicism mixed with, well, some of it is called Santeria. It's kind of that voodoo mixed with Catholicism or something. You know, a lot of those, that artwork that you see where it's the dagger is, you know, you see the drawing, the painting of Jesus, and then there'll be a, you know, dagger. It's very dramatic, you know, with the blood flowing out of the heart and everything. And then there are always these skulls, you know, and skeletons and, you know, the Day of the Dead and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm really drawn to all that, you know.
And of course, a lot of Southern literature.
Artwork.
Yeah, a lot of Southern literature would be sort of similar themes, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
You would have grown up reading a lot of that sort of material, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got introduced to Flannery O'Connor's writing when I was a teenager, and I read all of her books and other Southern writers, Eudora Welty. And
God don't ever change, he's God. Always will be God, he's God. God don't ever change, he's God. Always will be God, he's God. God don't ever change, he's God. Always will be God, he's God. God in the middle of the ocean, a God in the middle of the sea, by the heavenly great creator, he truly been a God to me, he's God. God don't never change, he's God, always will be God. Skip around like a lamb, but he's God. God don't never change, he's God. Always will be God, and he's God. God don't never change, he's God. Always will be God. Well, he's a God. Time of the influenza, he truly was a God to you. Well, he's God.
office, a God way down at the door, a God in every corner, and a God all over the floor. Well, he's God. God don't never change, he's God. Always looking God. God don't ever change, he's God. Always will be God, yeah, he's God. God don't ever change, he's God. Always will be God.
Lucinda, can I ask you about moving to Nashville? What led you to move to Nashville, decide to live in Nashville?
Well, you know, I lived here in the 90s for about 9 years.
Yeah.
And then I moved, well, first I was in Los Angeles. Then I moved to Nashville, and then I moved back to Los Angeles. And a lot of our friends are moving here, and we just found ourselves back here a lot. You know, in between tours, we started staying. There's a hotel here we like, so we would, you know, have a couple of weeks off in between tours. And I just got to where I got tired of flying back and forth to Los Angeles, to tell you the truth. It's really a hard place to travel in and out of, you know. And like when you're in Nashville, you know, you're close to New York City, and it's just a lot easier. And but the other thing is that a lot of the people we work with are all based here. Like the record label 30 Tigers is here, our publicist Jim Flamia, our business manager, and they're all based out of here. So we just decided, you know, we need to get a place here, you know, so we can move out of the hotel because we were staying in the hotel a lot. But we still have our house in L.A., but we have friends who are renting it right now. So, but it's a lot less stressful. Like tomorrow we have to fly to Washington, D.C., you know, and it's takes hardly any time at all.
You mentioned you had a lot of friends there. I can imagine it would be really creative for you as well. It might sort of would probably be inspiring to have that change and move there.
Yeah. And there, you know, where we're living in East Nashville, and you know, there are a lot of restaurants right around here. A lot of people we know live right around us. And, you know, it's gotten a lot more open-minded now and everything compared to when I moved here in the 90s. You know, it's still kind of conservative, and, you know, it's opened up a lot more since then.
It's also the fastest growing city in America, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty fast growing. Yeah, it's probably growing a little too fast. That always happens, it seems like. But I'd rather have, at least it's more progressive now, you know, than it used to be. So it still has a lot of the old, you know, it still feels like where we live, it's all real old houses.
Well, listen, congratulations on the album. It's an incredibly powerful album, and it's a much needed album. I think.
Thank you.
I think people really need this sort of thing, you know, and we need to hear musicians talking about this sort of thing and singing about it and sort of bringing this message, and which is obviously what you feel.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
And thank you so much for your time. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
Keep me sugar's horse. Keep me in the hands of science. Keep me with the good souls, with the better angels. Keep me with all of those. You help me find strength when I feel weak. Keep me with all of those who help me stay strong and guide.
Give me
me worth a good soul. You have a hand in my back, but I strayed from the path. Keep me with the better angels. Yeah, keep me with the good souls in the hands of saints. Keep me with all the ones who help me get home, who guide me along when I'm feeling hopeless, who help me stay fearless, and help me stay strong. Keep me with the good souls. Keep me with the good souls.
Good Souls, beautiful song, isn't it? The title track of Lucinda Williams' latest album, Good Souls, Better Angels, produced by her husband, Tom Overby, along with Ray Kennedy, and featuring her band, Buick Six, and recorded in Nashville. And we also heard God Don't Never Change, Lucinda's version of the Blind Willie Johnson song, which appears on the album of the same name, God Don't Never Change, the songs of Blind Willie Johnson. And you might have heard me interview the author of the liner notes of the album, Michael Corcoran, a couple of years ago on Off the Record. Terrific tribute, also featuring Tom Waits, as well as Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi, the Cowboy Junkies, the Blind Boys of Alabama, Sinead O'Connor, Luther Dickinson, and others. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our interview with Lucinda Williams. It is a fabulous album. Probably my favourite album of the year to date. Really powerful. It's got a lot to say. Very inspiring. And hopefully at some stage, probably next year, we will see Lucinda out in Australia touring and playing songs from the album live. Thanks for joining me on Off the Record this week, brought to you on the satellite network of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Stay safe, and I look forward to joining you next week.